costly if we have them, more costly if we don't. By Mary H. Woods. Australia's fertility rate is now 1.8%. This is well below replacement level, a fact which is beginning to cause some alarm among social policy experts, particularly those who recognize the link between population growth and the sustainability of social welfare policies, which are funded by taxation. Australian women are now less likely to marry and far less likely to have children. The Australian Bureau of Statistics reported last year that 27% of women would now not give birth at all. And if women do have children, the number of births will be fewer than at any other stage in history. Many more adults than ever before are now living alone. Opinions differ as to why this is so. Two recent reports offer some clues. The Social Policy Research Centre at the University of New South Wales has just released its report, which took over 2 years to complete and is a national first. Among other things, it showed that Australia's welfare budget of $42 billion fails to provide basic living standards for some of the poorest families. This report demonstrated that a child will have cost about $130,000 by its 14th birthday. Combining this research with work previously done by Professor Peter MacDonald on foregone earnings, which were estimated for the period at $570,000, the astonishing total of $700,000 is reached. The publication of such statistics, even allowing for some exaggeration, is clearly acting as a powerful deterrent towards childbearing. Professor MacDonald, described as Australia's foremost demographic expert, points to this cost factor as most significant in the choice about having children. The strongest evidence of this, he says, is the decline in the number of children people are having. Dr. Bob Birrell from Monash University's Centre for Population and Urban Research has thrown further light on this phenomenon. Commissioned by the Sydney Morning Herald to research aspects of women's lives as reflected in the Australian Census of 1996, Dr. Birrell shows that one significant factor which influences the way in which Australian women now live their lives is their increasingly high levels of educational attainment. While girls embarking on tertiary education already persistently outnumber boys, the percentage of women getting married is constantly decreasing. In 1986, 27% of women in their late 20s had not married. By 1996, this percentage had risen to 45, an extraordinary increase. The proportion of 30-year-old women who had never married almost doubled in the decade, going from 12% to 23%. For women who have tertiary qualifications and are aged 30 to 34, 30% have never been married. High family income means fewer children, particularly when combined with dual employment. Dr. Birrell's research indicates that Australian women, having more than one child, are increasingly likely to be stay-at-home mothers whose husbands are earning only an average wage. The groups least likely to have large families are those at opposite ends of the social spectrum, the very well-off and the poorest. Understandably, the most affluent in the community are the dinks, double income, no kids. Journalists Sally Lone and Adele Horin, commenting on the Birrell research, state that not only will the increasing numbers of young women with tertiary qualifications have a major impact on marriage and childbearing patterns, but will further hasten the decline of the traditional family with a non-working mother. They believe that higher education puts a brake on marriage, sometimes permanently. There are, of course, other factors at work which do not get much of a mention in the major press. In the past, many women married men who were both older and better educated than themselves. These days, such men are hard to find, and the fact that men have suffered most in the employment searches makes them even less of a marriage prospect in the eyes of educated young women. Most young women choose to use contraceptive measures. In fact, they are the first in history to have accessible, reliable, and reasonably cheap contraceptive measures on offer. They thus are able to put off having children for many years. Some choose never to have children. Even those who do not use contraceptive measures and become pregnant can resort to having an abortion. Abortion is now easily available, and over 80,000 abortions are performed each year. The decline in marriage rates and childbirth demonstrates the remarkable success of radical feminism in persuading women to ignore biology and reject traditional roles as unworthy of them. Head of the Howard Government's Office for the Status of Women, Prue Goward, cheerfully sums it up: force women to choose between a job and a dirty diaper, and many prefer a job. Both Miss Goward and Professor MacDonald believe that the only way to persuade women to have more children is to provide them with easier and cheaper childcare. This comfortably ignores several issues. Most Australians do not believe that paid childcare is in the best interest of babies. Most Australians, other, it seems, than the highly educated, still want to get married and have children. Most Australian families simply cannot exist on a single low income. And most Australians are uncomfortably aware that our appalling rate of unemployment has hit men hardest. Put into this context, the simplistic call for more childcare places shows at the very least a remarkable lack of imagination.